5 minutes. Okay, so welcome to, this is now I think the fifth installment of Why Do We Do That. Today we're going to talk about some more questions about tefillah. We talked about a few issues relating to davening last week, and today's part two, just to address further questions that people have sent in about davening. So I wanted to talk about two things really that are on these sheets that I gave you. One is why. What is the notion of this idea that we daven three times a day? Where does this come from, and what is the structure about? And secondly, just in terms of the structure of the davening that we do, in terms of Psukei Dezimra and Kriyat Shema and Shmona Esrei, and during Mincha also Ashrei and Shmona Esrei, and so on. How exactly? Where does that come from? If we have time at the end, someone asked about kissing tzitzis during Shema. So I have sheets for that. A sheet for that also. We'll see if there's time for that. I'm not sure. So the first thing we have to ask before we talk about why to daven, why daven three times a day, is why do we daven at all? Is this a mitzvah? In terms of the way that we've been doing this until now, try and frame this in terms of its source. So is this really a mitzvah in the Torah at all to daven? So what do people think? Mitzvah in the Torah? Does the Torah tell us that we have to pray?
Sometimes it does.
Sometimes
I think it's sort of veiled how it does. For example, when it talks about the holidays, you know, sometimes it talks about this is a day of affliction, so we know that's a veil for fasting.
Right.
And so it's, I think there's, I'm using English words, of course, but I think there's also one chag it does talk about that you should call out to Hashem.
Okay.
So also a sense of emulation.
No,
right.
Well, maybe. Oh, yeah.
Wasn't the patriarchs, they represent different...
Yes, we're going to see that.
Okay.
But just in terms of the actual mitzvah, it's not clear. There's no clear commandment, at least the outright commandment in the Torah that says, you know, Palalu, go pray, you have to daven. And because of that, there was a lot of debate about this historically. So, you know, the Gemara says that there's Taryag mitzvos, and there were a series, you know, there's 613 mitzvot, so there were a whole series of different books which were written trying to identify what exactly are the 613 mitzvot. The earlier ones like the Bahag, the Sefer Halachot Gdolot, and others, did not include a mitzvah to pray. There is no mitzvah of praying. They didn't assume there's a mitzvah in the Torah that you had to pray.
So your question was, is it one of the 613?
Right. I'm saying, does the Torah say... The question was, first of all, does the Torah say anywhere that you have to pray? So according to these earlier works, it doesn't. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you have to pray.
But actually, the Shema... The first paragraph is in the Sefer Torah.
The Shema for sure.
So you're saying Shmona Esrei?
Yeah, exactly. Shmona Esrei, this idea that we have Shmona Esrei, do you have to do? Okay. The Shema is a twice a day mitzvah. Mm-hmm. The Shmona Esrei we do three times a day. Yeah, so so that's what I meant. So a lot of these earlier works did not count it. And for a long time, it was assumed that there's obviously something good. We find examples in Tanakh of people praying, and it's clear that Chazal created this whole structure of tefillah, but it wasn't really assumed that this was a central thing. The Rambam was the first one who made the argument and said, no, there's a mitzvah min haTorah, you have to pray. He didn't put it on the sheet, but he assumes that avoda, Chazal say, you have to avadata, you have to serve God, and avoda shebelev, there's a specific kind of service of the heart, which is tefillah. So the Rambam assumed that there was a mitzvah that you had to pray every day, at least once. The Torah mandated it once a day. The Ramban, other people assume that he was like iffy, he sort of attacked this position of the Rambam, and he said it's not clear, but maybe if there is a requirement, then it's only to cry out in times of need. So that's basically the range. Some people have said there's no mitzvah, some people said there's a mitzvah once a day, and some in terms of times of
need. So I'm a little confused. So here's my challenge here, though. If you're talking about the Shmon Esrei, Shmon Esrei is Derabbanan, so there's no mention in the Sefer Torah about Shmon Esrei.
Correct.
So, but you asked, is there a mitzvah in the Torah to pray?
Yeah.
So that's not necessarily Shmon Esrei, that's just...
Right, so when we do say the Shmona Esrei, we accomplish the act of prayer, the actual content of the Shmona Esrei, the brachas of the Shmona Esrei, you're 100% right, written by Chazal later.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that would work, if you're assuming this is true, is that there's a basic Torah requirement to pray, and Chazal created a legislated sort of how we do that.
Okay.
Why does this matter to us? So it's just interesting because we, you know, a big part of our lives now as Jews revolve around shul, going to shul, davening in shul. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, it would be very interesting. We sort of feel like that's, you know, like really big core of what we do. It would be interesting if in that sort of circumstance, it really was never something the Torah required at all. There are a lot. There are certain times during the year when we have a lot of like mitzvot that we do, or you know, services that we do, where the core is missing, and it's usually commemorated. One of them is the Seder. The Seder night, we go to the Seder, and you say the Haggadah, and you eat matzah and maror, and it's great. But the thing which is missing, which is essential, is the Korban Pesach. That's why at the end of the Seder we say Lashana Abab Yerushalayim. The other time in the year we say Lashana Abab Yerushalayim is on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur also, you dive in and it's really good. But the service of Yom Kippur, the avoda of the Kohen Gadol, doing the service in the Beit Mikdash, is missing, obviously, and that's like a gaping hole. So we feel that. It would be interesting if Tefillah was the same way. But it's not. Basically, our assumption today is Tefillah is something that the Torah required. This is something that the Rambam sort of pulled out of the periphery and brought into the center of the way that we think about things. Okay, so that's the background in terms of tefillah. Where the operating assumption is tefillah is a Torah commandment, and what we're doing now is just figuring out how exactly that was made into a sort of more standard system. There's a chiyuv to daven once a day, maybe only when you have a need, but let's say once a day. So where does the three times a day structure come from? If it's only once a day, or it's maybe only if I'm in a crisis, where do we get this notion of three? So we already heard mention this concept of the avot. This is the source that I have here, source one. It's a Gemara which discusses this issue. Itmar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Amar Tfilot Avot Tiknum. So the assumption is the Avot, the Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, created the tefillahs, the different tefillahs that we say during the day. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, no, tefillah keneged tmidin tiknum. Chazal created the tefillahs, and the tefillahs are modeled after the korbanos that they used to bring in the Beis Hamikdash. There's a korban in the morning, so that shacharit is sort of modeled after that, is lined up with that. There's a korban bein harbaim in the afternoon, so there's mincha. They used to do hekder chavarim evarim the chalavim the whole night. They would burn whatever leftover things they had from the korbanos, and that is parallel to Maariv. So the Gemara brings proofs in both directions. Tanya Kavetei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. There's a source, a brisa, to prove Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. What is and a brisa in the other direction. So Avram tikein tefilat shacharit. Avram established shacharit. Shenemar v'yashkeim Avraham baboker el makom asher amad sham. This is from just after the story of Sodom. It says that Avram got up early in the morning. He got up early in the morning on several occasions, but and this is the case here. And he went to stand. He went back to the place where he stood. Ve'ein amida latfila. Standing is a reference to prayer. Shenamar ve'yamod Pinchas vayipalal. Pinchas stood up and prayed. Yitzchak tikein tefilat mincha. Yitzchak established mincha. Shenamar ve'yetzi Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. This is from last week's parsha. We see Yitzchak going out into the field when Rivka's coming on the camel. So Yitzchak goes out to speak in the field. Lifnot erev, towards the evening. Ve'ein sicha ala tefila. Sicha, that word for discussion, for conversation, is a reference to prayer also. Shenamar tefila la'ani ki ya'tef lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. The prayer of a poor person when he wraps himself up and stands in front of God, he spills out his sicha, his speech. So that's a language for prayer as well. Yaakov tikein tefilat arvit. Yaakov made mariv shenemar v'yifka b'makom v'yilein sham. He encountered the place. That's going to be in next week's parsha. He encounters the place, the place being Har Habayit, and this is where he lies down and he has the dream. Ve'en pigia ela the dream but the latter. Ve'en pigia ela tefila. The language of pigia, of encounter, is a language, or intercession as translated in this version of the translation that I got, is a language of tefila. Shne'emar v'ata al tidpalel ba'ad ha'amazeh v'al tisa ba'adam rina v'tefila v'al tifka bi. Don't pray for these people. Don't intercede for them, either song or tefila, and don't don't make intercession. It's translated here, but it's the same root, the same word, pigia, pe gimel ayin. Okay, so that's
isn't
the idea.
Isn't that also the short of pigua, which is like an attack?
Yeah, pega. Yeah, It's a little bit strange.
Yeah.
I don't have a good explanation of that, but you're right. So that's the idea. So we have these three, a keneged the avot. There's a proof text in the other direction that we see that tefillah is lined up with the different korbanot that we bring during the day. And the conclusion of the Gemara is that they both are true at some level. Le'olam, eim alecha tefillot avot tiknum, va'asmechin hu rabbanan ar korbanot. I will say in the end that even if you're going to claim that the avot created these different moments of prayer, they still have to be. We still have to say that Chazal later established them, made them rely on the korbanot of the day. Why? What do you think? You can peek, but there's a tefillah which has nothing to do with any. There's a fourth tefillah sometimes that we say. We say it on Shabbos every day, which is additional beyond the three, and that is Musaf. We say Musaf. Yeah. Musaf. There's only three avot. There's Shacharis, Mincha, Mariv, and Musaf. So there's four different tefillahs at least that we sometimes say Ne'ilah too. That's a different discussion. But that's what the Gemara says. The Ilo Teimahachi, if you don't say that everyone agrees that the Korbanot are involved here at some level, Tefillah Musaf, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Man Tikna. So the Tefillah of Musaf, who made that? Who did it? Ela Avo Tefillot Avo Tiknum, Vasmechin Hu Rabbanan Ar Korbanot. So rather, what we have to say is that the Avot made Tefillah, and Chazal sort of created a structure which is based on the Korbanot. The question is, what does this mean? How do we extract value out of this threefold idea? But this is the idea, that we have three times a day that we have to pray. It has two layers. One layer is the historical reality of the avot, creating these different kinds of tefillah. And the other layer is that when Chazal sort of made a standardized version of davening, they established it based on the korbanot of the day. So at face value, there's an interesting idea here which comes up a lot. There's a tension in terms of tefillah between doing something spontaneous and having structure, right? If we're praying, so, you know, if you feel very inspired and you feel ready and whatever, then sometimes you just want to say something. You want to do something. You want to express your needs, or you want to express your thanks, or you want to express praise of God, whatever exactly you feel like you want to express.
Your feelings.
Right, exactly. So there's a spontaneous urge. That's something that you need. On the other hand, really doing that properly, and you're speaking to God, it's not, you know, you're not speaking to a friend or something. Right. To really do that properly, effectively, is not so simple, right? It's not
like
so obvious.
Yeah.
Right. So you're speaking to, like, the king. You're speaking to somebody that's, you know, you don't want to mess it up. You don't want to stumble awkwardly over your words.
Right.
And you don't want to express yourself in some sort of awkward or silly way. So there's a tension between spontaneous and structure. Our language is faulty. There are different people write about this. At a certain point, we lost the knack for the sort of poetry. It's kind of an art to be able to express yourself really properly the right way and get out whatever's out. Sometimes you see people do weird things. They feel very inspired, and they do some sort of weird makeup.
But Hashem understands all this.
Of course, but as a person, you want to try and do it in a way which is appropriate, the best possible way that you can.
Okay.
So that what we've developed, this two-tiered layer, this two-layered idea, is sort of this idea. The Avot were not expressing themselves in terms of a structure. It was spontaneous.
Uh-huh.
They created this reality, and that's part of what we're supposed to be aiming at in Tefillah. And at the same time, Chazal understood that the Korbanot are a structure. The Torah legislated. In the morning you have to bring a Korban Tamid. In the afternoon you have to bring a Korban Tamid. You have to burn the stuff that's left over at night. This is all a very rigid structure. So those two things are both reflected in the Tefillah in the system that we have. We have structure, but the Gemara is emphasizing that there's also supposed to be some sort of element of your own personal input, of your own spontaneity that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's one way of looking at this. I just have a couple of other sources which I brought here, which I thought were interesting in terms of explaining this idea of why there's three every day. The source number two is the Kuzari.
Mm-hmm.
The Kuzari says he's explaining. He's talking about a person that's totally in control of themselves, a person who sort of has control of all their faculties and their thoughts and their actions, and what this person does with their tongue, how he engages in tefillah. So he says, "V'hiyeh halashon maskim im ha-machshava lo yosif alav." The tongue agrees with your thoughts instead of adding on randomly on its own. It really expresses what you think. "V'lo yivateh b'tfilato al derech ha-minhag v'ha-teva k'mo ha-zarzir v'ha-bag-baga ha-bab-ga." Which are two different kinds of birds. You know, a person doesn't speak, this kind of person doesn't just say, mechanically say prayers by rote, like a parrot or a starling, I don't know what a starling is, some other kind of bird. Ela im kol mila machshava v'kavana ba. Rather, each word is recited carefully with proper thought, proper intention, v'tiyatahi lev zmano v'perio. That time, this is the key here, that moment of prayer is like the core, the fruit, it's the base, it's the best part of his day, it's the heart of his whole day. V'yushar itotav kedrachim amagiyim ala'atahi. The rest of his moments in the day are just moments which lead themselves towards the next moment of prayer. Yitaveh korvato shebo mitdameh beruchaniyim v'yitrechak mehabemiyim. And he desires the closeness that comes with these moments where he's more similar to a spiritual being than to a physical, animalistic being. V'yeh pri yomo v'leilo hashalosh ito tehem shel tefila. The fruit of his day and his night are these three moments, three times when he comes to pray. Upriya Shavua Yom HaShabbat, he's discussing this in a longer, larger context, but we're only looking at this part. The fruit of his week is Shabbos. Mipnei Shu Me'umad Lihidabek Be'inyan Ha'eloki. Because in those moments, he can sort of access God in a stronger way. V'avodato B'simcha V'lo B'kenia Kasher Yitbe'er. And his avoda at that time, at those times, is with joy, not with being bent over and humbled, like we have explained. V'haseder hazeh mehanefesh keseder hamazon mehaguf. So this is where he has an interesting parallel. This practice of doing this three times a day, just like a person has to eat three times a day or several times a day, you can't eat once a day, you'd be very hungry otherwise, it's the same idea for your soul, this practice of praying three times a day. Mitpalel l'nafsho v'nizun l'gufo. It's the prayers for his soul, the food, the nourishment is for his body. And so the bracha, the blessing that comes out of one time when you pray is enough. It lasts him, you know, that spiritual lift lasts him until the next time that he comes to pray. Just like if you eat in the morning, so then you have strength to go until you have to eat again later in the day. The further away the soul gets from this moment of prayer, the more the world sort of darkens it and it gets sort of bound up in the matters of the world. Kol sheken im yivieihu hatzorech lechevrat naarim v'nashim v'ra'im, all the more so if persons pulled away into all kinds of different distractions, v'yishma ma sheyachir zchut nafsho, and he'll hear something which will darken his soul. Midvarim kuarim v'nigunim shetata nefesh aleihem, either from like improper speech or from songs which will pull his soul away, something we maybe can relate to today. V'lo yuchalim sholben, he's not going to be able to have control. Be'et ha'tfila mitaher nafsho mikol mashekadam v'yitkane le'atin. And in the moment of tefillah, he purifies his soul from everything that's come before and prepares it for the future. So this is this idea in the Kuzari, aside from the what we've said before about the structure relating to the korbanot, but there's some sort of notion that this is like food for my soul. I'm prepared, I have a moment of uplifting tefillah. Right. And then it sort of lasts you until the next time that you do it, and that this is a way a person nourishes themselves in that sense. So I thought that was a nice idea. This idea also from the Shla, I thought was very nice. Avram tikein tfilat shacharit, Yitzchak tfilat mincha, v'Yaakov tfilat arvit. The life of a person is divided into three segments, three parts of a person's life. There are years of ascendancy, years of sort of static, just staying the same, and years of decline. That's what he says. Shnot ha'aliyah, years of of ascent, being ascendant, growing in strength, years where it's sort of static, and years of descent. Kenegdam tiknu Chazal shalosh tefilot. So Chazal established three different tefilot in response, in parallel to these ideas, in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And the idea is, similarly, those times of day. The morning is when the sun is rising, a person is parallel to a person's life dawning, a person is becoming more capable, more powerful. Mincha is in the middle of the day, and Maariv is at night, once the sun has already set. A person is in decline. Shachrut baboker, mincha b'tzorayim, mariv be'eriv. So shachrut is in the morning, a time of ascendance. Mincha is in the afternoon, when you're sort of static, and mariv is at night. And these lehodot lefanav ki hu yitbarach maspik lanu kol tzarchenu be'elu hazmanim. And that is to thank God, or to declare before God that He provides for our needs during all these different periods of life. And this is a very powerful idea.
Old age as well.
That's the implication, right? A time of decline. That's the person moves towards the end of their life. So this is a powerful idea. I mean, it applies over the course of life. Also applies throughout a day. It doesn't have to be, you know, you can have moments which are much more, you feel capable and you feel powerful. You have moments which you don't feel like anything is happening. It's sort of like static and boring and you don't understand what's going on. And you have moments where you feel helpless. So the idea is that tefillah relates to all of these different time periods in a person's life. One last idea here in terms of the threefold structure, which is not on the sheet. Whatever, a little bit of technical difficulty, was this, which I saw from Rav Kook. Rav Kook said, what is this idea that you have the avot and the korbanot? So he says that there's two different focuses in tefillah. If you look, obviously tefillah at a personal level is you expressing your own needs, your own desires, what you need from God, what you, your praise of whatever exactly, your own feelings. But at another level, if you look at the text of the tefillah, it's all plural, 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 plural. Save us from this case, save us in this case, and heal us, and bring back, you know, the judges to your people, and rebuild Yerushalayim, and bring the machine. There's all kinds of things which we're asking about which are on a national level, not on a personal level. So those two elements are sort of at play. And he says the question in this Gemara was really, what is the more primary idea? What is the more primary focus? Is it my personal needs? Or is it the national level, the level of Klal Yisrael? I'm supposed to be asking for the group, for the whole community, for the whole nation. And so the conclusion then would be that these are both critical aspects of tefillah. Mm-hmm. When we have the concept of the avot were not at a time when there was a nation, right? They were just individuals. They may have been thinking about a future when there would be a nation, but they were just individuals. So the sort of emphasis there is prayer for the individual, and the korbanot are communal things. The korban in the morning, the korban tamid in the morning and the afternoon. Those are korbanot which are brought for everybody. That's a korban tzibur. It's brought for the whole community. So if the idea is that tefillah is aligned along those lines, then it's more of an issue of the community than an issue of the individual. And the idea is that both of those elements are at play. So that's what we have. We have the structure of three. This is where the structure of three came from. And there's two themes that run there, both the avot and the korbanot. And depending on how you understand that, if it's spontaneity versus structure, if it's the personal versus the communal. We saw two other ideas, the Kuzari's idea that you need several moments of tefillah in a day in order to rejuvenate yourself spiritually until you make it to the next station. And also this idea from the Shla that it relates to different periods and moments, experiences a person has throughout their life, throughout parts of their life, and the idea that God relates to us and helps us in all of these different phases. Okay, so that was the first thing sort of that I wanted to look at. The second thing I wanted to look at was the structure of the tefillot during the day. So if we take a step back, we know that in the morning, last week we talked about Birkot HaShachar, the brachas that we say in the morning, but after we finish those brachas, there's some other stuff that we say also, which I don't want to get into, and then we start with Psukei DeZimra. Psukei DeZimra, depending on what nusach you daven, starts with Baruch Sheamar, includes a bunch of bits of Tehillim, and then a bunch of Halalukas, and then some other things, and then Yishtabach. Right? There's like a sandwich. There's Baruch Shamar at the one end, Yishtabach at the other end, Ashrei, and a bunch of sets of Halalukas in the middle, and a few other things. If you daven Nusach Sfard, the shul here daven Nusach Ashkenaz, right?
Ashkenaz.
So if you daven Nusach Sfard, then they actually make the Baruch Shamar, they sort of move a bunch of stuff out, and it's just the Baruch Shamars and the Ashrei and Halalukah and the end bits. They take out Hodu and a bunch of those other things and put them outside. And so we have that sandwich. Then you move into Kriyat Shema, where you have the brachas of the Kriyat Shema.
Baruchu first.
Baruchu, correct. There's Baruchu, there's a Kaddish, there's the brachas of the Kriyat Shema, and then you have the brachas and the Shema and the brachas before the Shema, the Shema, the brachas after the Shema, and then Shmona Esrei, and then the rest of davening afterwards. There's Tachnun and other things also. But that's basically the trajectory in the morning during Shacharis. At Mincha time, you have Ashrei, and you go straight into Shmona Esrei, and at Mariv, you have the Shema again with other brachas, and then you go into Shmona Esrei. The question is where, and specifically here in terms of Psukei Dezimra, where did this come from? What is this idea that we're saying Psukei Dezimra? Why are we doing it? Anyone have any ideas?
It's sort of too, I mean, the intensity of the Shema and the Shmona Esrei are so great that it's like, you know, if you got to warm up before you can drive your car, essentially. So you have to sort of get yourself accustomed to the increasing power that you're going to have to recite. So you need something to sort of ease you into it, so to speak.
Right. So that's for sure the idea sort of threads its way through all of these sources, is that there's a denouement happening. You start at a low point, and you build up through Kriyat Shema. It's a question where the top is. Okay, but we'll see that. Through Kriyat Shema and up to the Shmona Esrei, maybe Kriyat Shema is the greatest moment, and Shmona Esrei is already not. Whatever, we'll see that in a second, but that's the idea. There's a build-up.
There's one other thing. You know, the hallelujahs are really, you know, you're praising God before you can ask Him. You can ask of Him something. So, you know, you have to sort of communicate with your Maker to say, you know, listen, I'm thanking you, I'm praising you for all this thing, and then only then can you ask of Him something, which is what the Shmona Esrei is.
Right.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So we'll see what we find inside here. So if we look at source 4, mm-hmm. the sources 4, 5, and 6 are based, they're three different sources from the Gemara, and they're three different ideas which are interwoven together, as we'll see in source 7, to sort of create the background, the basis for what Psukei Dezimra is. The only one which openly references Psukei Dezimra, I didn't do an exhaustive search, but as far as I know, it's the reference, the only reference in the Gemara is this first source. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Yeheh Chelki Migomrei Halel B'Kol Yom. Rabbi Yossi says, if you want to talk about people who have good merits, who do something good, they're the people that finish Halel every day. I wish my space, my place, my inheritance would be together with the people who complete the Halel every day. The assumption the Gemara makes is we're talking about halal, like we say on Yantiv, halal, like we say on some other day, on Chanukah, whatever, that halal. So the Gemara says, "Ini, is that true? V'ha'amar mar, ha'kor halal b'kol yom, ha'reza mecharef megadef." Someone who reads halal every day is a heretic. That's really bad. You're not supposed to read halal every day. The halal that we say on Yantiv, those,
like
that halal.
Not to be extreme.
Right, so we'll define it in one moment.
Say it without a bracha.
Pardon? Right, so if you're reading it as Tehillim, so yeah, so for sure. So yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe that's what it means.
But the point, yeah, so the point here seems to be reading halal, so yeah, we'll define this in a second, in some certain terms of intending something, not just reading it as Tehillim, as Prakim of Tehillim. Kika Amrinan, what did he mean when he said finishing the halal? He meant Psukei Dezimra. Psukei Dezimra is the series, the core of Psukei Dezimra that we have now, is Ashrei, followed by a bunch of Halalukas. They start with Halalukah, they're Prakim of Tehillim, which start with Halalukah, end with Halalukah, and you go through a series of them.
Where's the beginning and end of Psukei?
I mean, so it's...
It starts with Baruch Shamar.
Yeah.
Where does it end?
If you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, it starts with the Baruch Shamar, it ends with Yishtabach. Oh, that's so that whole section is called Psukei Dezimra.
It feels before Shema, It's not part of it.
Right, that's already called Birkas Kriya Shema. That's like a separate section.
But on Shabbat it's longer. It goes to,
right, so there's a huge amount of extra stuff that we added on Shabbos.
Nishmas is part of Pesukim?
Nishma already is not.
Nishmas,
that is like an extended version of introduction to Yishtabach. It's unclear exactly how you, but yes, it's part of Pesukim Zimra, for sure. So yeah, the core.
Now after that, you can't talk, right?
You're not really supposed to talk even during, because you're in between two brachas and whatever. It's not clear, but once you're in brachas of Kriya Shema, you also it's a little bit more stringent. You can't talk. Once you get into Shemon Esrei, so you really can't talk.
Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to talk like once you start Brach Shomer.
Right.
But you could talk like during the brachos, like Shlomos Anigai, Shlomos Anigai.
Yeah.
Like,
so there you can still talk.
You're in the middle of saying brachos. If you're in the middle of saying it, you could talk. I mean, you finish the bracha.
Yeah, you finish the bracha.
The bracha, and then you could talk.
Right. This time,
the Baruch Shammah.
Right. The idea is that Baruch Shammah and Yishtabach are like two parts of the same bracha. It's all one. It's not really a mitzvah, but whatever it is, it's all one continuity. So you're not supposed to talk in the middle. And really, it's bad to talk between Baruch Shammah and the thing. And it's also not good to talk in Shabbat.
What language were they speaking at that time?
At which time?
At that time when you were.
In the Gemara,
Hashem.
So presumably their prayer, the Psukei de Zimra that they said, is the same as ours. It was in Hebrew. If they're reading pieces of Tehillim, then it's in Hebrew. The dominant language in prayer in general is in Hebrew, I think. Some stuff is in Aramaic. Kaddish is in Aramaic. Brich Shmei de Rabbah that we say when we take out Sefer Torah is in Aramaic. There are certain things that are in Aramaic.
What is Aramaic?
I'm not an expert in like parallel languages, but Aramaic was a language that they spoke in Babylon at the time of the exile. It was also, in Syria and a bunch of other places.
An Arabic type of.
It's parallel to Hebrew. There's a lot of similarities to Hebrew. I don't know Arabic, so I don't know how similar.
Arabic and Hebrew.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, it could. There's parallels to Arabic also, in my limited knowledge of Arabic. But yeah, it was a Middle Eastern language that was the dominant language in the Middle East. Babylon was like the empire, right? They ruled a huge chunk of land, a huge chunk of the area, and that was their language. Mm. It continues to be spoken in a couple of random towns in Syria,
which
hopefully still exist. I don't know if they still exist after the Civil War.
Nice to know.
But they do. There are some people where one of my teachers was once got in a cab in New York. And the person saw he was wearing a kippah, so he started talking to him in Aramaic. He came from one of these towns and moved to New York, and he's, this guy's a Jew, so he reads the Talmud, so he must know Aramaic. So he had a whole conversation with him in Aramaic.
So where is this, in Syria?
In Syria. I think it's in Syria. There are a couple of small towns, small areas in Syria where this is still spoken.
I thought
they
were only speaking Aramaic, like in the yeshivas.
You know, if you drive, I'm trying to think of the church, but there's a religious... Syrian, one of the Syrian religions, I believe, they speak Aramaic in their davening.
Like in the service.
But I'm trying to remember, it's a kind of Syrian church. I forget, but I remember. I think they.
Church.
It was mentioned recently about Aramaic. I think it was in Syria. Yeah. They were speaking still in Syria.
So I don't know.
Most of the Gemara is in Aramaic.
A big chunk. Most of the Gemara is written in Aramaic. Even the Yerushalmi Gemara is also written in Aramaic. Different, slightly different spellings and dialect and whatever. But it was everybody spoke Aramaic. That's what they spoke in the street. Okay. So this idea about Halal Psukei de Zimra. So what's going on here? We have one set of bits of Tehillim which is called Psukei de Zimra, and we have the other one which is called Halal that we say during the on Yantiv whenever we say it.
Yeah.
Right. Rosh Chodesh and on Chanukah and on. And Purim,
really?
Kriya Tazui, the Megillah is in the substitute for Halal and Purim. That's a whole other discussion by itself. Okay, fine. So those two things are different. This Gemara is saying we want to be amongst the people that finish Halal every day, not the Halal that we say on Yantiv. I think the distinction here is that Halal is basically, if you look at the sources for when we say it, it's a reaction to a certain kind of event, something God did for us. It's a reaction to a miraculous event, might be a reaction to a bad event in some sources. It's a reaction to the holiness of the day on Yantiv, the Yom Tov of special Kedusha. So it's a reaction to that. And it's a statement about what God did for me. Kil Olam Chazdo. It's a recognition of something that God did right now. These halukas that we say are much more general. The ones that we say in Psukei Dezimra, if you look through it, just paying attention this morning, it's just a general thing. Praise God, He created the world.
But they're all Tehillim. Most of them are Tehillim.
Yeah, it's all Tehillim. I mean, the challah that we say then is Tehillim, and this challah is also Tehillim.
Yeah.
It's all Tehillim. So, but the point is, there's different, a little bit of a different focus. One of them is much more general. You're not reacting. So I think the idea, if you say the challah every day, you're a heretic because you're not really react, like you're not doing it properly, right? Not every day is a special day where now I'm going to say halal. That's the idea. But every day is a day where you can praise God in a general sense. So that's what we have here, this idea of Psukei Dezimra. Then we have the next source, Darash Rabbi Simlai, Le'olam Yisader Adam Shvacho Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'achar Kach Yitpal. So this is a little bit along the lines of what you were saying before. A person should always organize the praises of God, set like make an order of praises of God, and afterwards he should pray. Min Nalan, how do we know? From Moshe. We see it in Moshe and Parshat Vetchanan, when he's praying to be allowed into the land. Va'et Chanan al Hashem ba'et ha'i v'ktiv Hashem Elokim ata hachilota laharot et avdecha et gadlecha v'et yadcha hachazaka asher mi kelba shamayim v'aret asher yasek ma'asecha v'chvurotecha. You are the one who began to show your strong hand, your ability, who is like you, and then only afterwards Moshe says Ebra na v'eret haaretz hatova, let me go into the land. So first he praised God, and then afterwards he asked for what he wanted. So this is a secondary idea, that we should say some praises of God before we ask for things. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Avina, Kola Omer Tehillah LeDavid B'chol. Sorry, this is source 6. So this is an idea about Ashrei. Kola Omer Tehillah LeDavid B'chol Yom Shalosh Pamim Muftach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba. Anyone that says Ashrei 3 times a day, he is guaranteed to be in the world to come. Why? Why should that be true? My tama, what is the reason? Ilema mishum de'atya ba'alef bet. Maybe you'll say it's because it's organized according to the alef base. That's why you should say Ashrei and you go into Olam Baba. Neima Ashrei t'mimei derech de'atya b'tamnia apin. There's, I believe it's Per Kuf Yod Ted in Tehillim, has, it's an eightfold, I don't know how to say this in English, eightfold acrostic. I mean, it's like each, there's eight psukim, which all start with aleph, eight would start with bet, eight would start with gimel. It's a super aleph base. So if the issue is aleph base, you should say that one instead, because that's much more of aleph. There's like eight times as much aleph base there for you.
So they never comment that, you know, the Ashrei misses the nun, right?
No. They do, actually. It's the Gemara after this,
oh,
right?
After that?
The Gemara asks, why is there missing a nun? Because it's against the
alphabet.
No,
but why, if it's so critical to have all the letters in the alphabet?
Okay, because it's clear that it's really the alphabet and they miss the nun.
I hear.
Because it has the words, poteach et yadecha. Open your hands and maspia l'kol chai ratzon, and satisfy the needs of all living things. Neima halal hagadol. So let us say halal hagadol. Halal hagadol is the big kila olam chazdos that we say on Shabbos.
Yeah.
So say that one, because it says natan lechem l'kol basar. He gave bread to everybody, and that's halal hagadol. Ela mishum de'it be'tarte. It has both of these things. It has the aleph beis. It has this notion of sustaining all life. The Aleph Beis I've seen explained in a bunch of different ways. One of them is that it represents the fact that God orchestrated the whole world, like the same way that the letters, you know, are the building blocks that build up words, that build up maybe at a spiritual level the world. So this is the idea. And the second idea is that God provides the needs for every living thing. That's the most basic praise. That's what we're assuming. The core of the whole idea here of these Psukei Dezimra is that you say God provides for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
God is the one that made everything. He provides for everyone all the time. That's the idea. And then you go into tefillah afterwards. So these three ideas, one is this notion of completing the halal, saying the Psukei Dezimra. The other one is that in general, we want to put praises of Hashem first and then daven afterwards. And the third one is you want to say Ashrei 3 times. These three things get bundled together and out comes Psukei Dezimra as we have it today.
And my father once said, God will provide.
Yeah.
A long time ago, he used to say that.
Yeah. For sure. So So yeah, so if we look in the Torah, this is what the Torah says. He's describing why we say Baruch Sheamar, because Baruch Sheamar is not mentioned anywhere in the Gemara. It came later. Nitakna Bracha Zu, this Bracha of Baruch Sheamar was devised, was established, Mishum Ha De'ita B'Perek Kol Ketve, like we saw, the first source that we saw, Yehei Chalki Im Gomrei Halal B'Chol Yom, I want my place to be with the people that complete Hallel every day. Umaskinan kikamer b'psukei dezimra, and we say that's talking about psukei dezimra. Umai nihu, what is psukei dezimra? What are these prakim of Hallel? Tehilal David, which is Ashrei, ad kol haneshama tehalal kal. There's a lot of shemos on the sheet, so please don't throw them. My mistake. I apologize. I'm just noticing as we're reading through that there's like a lot of shemos on the sheets. This is another case. So yeah, it's from Ashrei till Kol Neshama Telka. We repeat double. You say Kol Neshama Telka Luka twice. Why? Right at the end of that paragraph. So I saw the idea is that really the praises should go on forever, and that there's not enough that we can say that will actually sufficiently praise God. So you just have a double one to say, like, I really should be going on forever and just keep doing it, but I can't because I'm human. Mm-hmm. Okay, but that's the basic core. V'tu garsinan b'per kamad de bracha. We also say what we just saw before. Amar Rabbi Elazar kol omer tilal David b'chol yom gimel pami muftach lo shu ben olam haba. If you say Ashrei three times, you'll be part of olam haba. V'chen darash Rabbi Simlai lo olam yisader adam shivcho shel makom v'achareichan yitpalel. L'chen tiknu la'omram kodem tefila. So, and person should say praises of God before he davens. So this is why all of these things, this is why for these three reasons, Chazal decided, or whoever created the Siddur, afterwards, not clear, I mean, when this emerged, in times of the Geodim, they said it that we would say these things, v'kavu brachas ulifneim, they created bruch sheamar to say before them, and v'achat l'achareihem, another brach afterwards, which is called yishtabach. And so you can see here already how the different kinds of nusach split. The nusach Sfard says, what's in here? Only what it says here. You say Baruch Sheamar, you say Ashrei, you say these prakim of Tehillim, a couple other things snuck in at the end, granted, and then there's Yishtabach, and the other stuff that's before, Hodu Lashem, is outside. And then the Nusach Ashkenaz said, no, it's all part of what we put in. The idea was, whatever stuff you're going to say before you come to Kriyat Shema, you sandwich it with Baruch Sheamar and Yishtabach. Okay. So that seems to be the idea here. We have Baruch Sheamar, we have Yishtabach, we have this continuum leading us into Kriyat Shema. What exactly is the idea here? So we've already seen there's a notion of preparing yourself, there's a notion of saying praise. I just wanted to point out a couple halachas here which sort of point to the core of what's going on. I don't want to get involved in the gritty details of what you leave out and what is the sequence and how you leave stuff out if you come late and whatever, but there are certain elements here which are clearly much more central than other ones. One of them we see here in number 8. Tzarech lechavein bepasuch poteach et yedecha v'im lo kivein tzarech lachzor leomro pa'am acheret. This is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Not a lot of people know, but you, just like during Shmona Esrei, you're supposed to have kavana. You have to pay attention and know the meanings of the words and whatever other kinds of attention you're supposed to be paying. So you have to say it with kavana. You have to say the pasuk poteach et yadecha also with kavana. And if you don't, you go back. Yeah, to understand what it means. You have to know it means open your hands and satisfy the needs of all living creatures. That's what we saw before. That's the core of the Ashrei. The Ashrei has the acrostic, has Aleph Beis, but also has this idea of poteach et yadecha. So what you see from this halacha is that the absolute core of the whole Psukei Dezimra, it doesn't say this about any other part of Psukei Dezimra, so you could sort of have, it's not good, but you could sort of be not paying attention to what you're saying before this pasuk, attention to what you're saying after this pasuk, as long as you say poteach et yadecha with kavana, I mean, that is the core. Here, you can't skip out on it. So this is the idea. Open your hand, satisfy the needs of all living beings. You're recognizing that God does it. Somebody told me, I couldn't find it, but from the Gra, that just like when you open your hand, all your fingers have different lengths.
Right.
So the idea is the same, that people have different people have different needs. Mm-hmm. When we say poteach et yadach u'maspia l'kol chai ratzon, why is it specifically poteach? You have to open, meaning there's an image of opening your hand and whatever you need to give is in your hand. But the Gra said, if you open your hand, then you see that everyone's needs are different. Mm-hmm. And God is capable of providing for everyone's needs, even whatever. We get the idea that everyone, yeah.
It's also very interesting, like, I have a custom, I don't know where I got it from, but, you know, before you say the motzi,
yeah.
You know, when you think about giving charity, you open your hand, you know. It's also
right, obviously. That's the simple meaning. The shot is that open your hand and you give tzedakah, right? When the Torah says, don't close your hand, don't turn away, whatever, from giving tzedakah. But the Grubs had this idea that poteach et yadech also alludes to this idea, and that's the core. God is capable of providing, Hashem provides for every single person based on their own individual needs. He provided for you, He provided for me, created the world, and He provides for everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's the core of the praise that we're saying. That was one point which I saw here. Another point, just in terms of why we're doing this. Yes, so I have to say praises. And you mentioned this concept of coming up to a high. So why am I doing that? Like, why don't how exactly am I doing that? Mm-hmm. So I brought the source here. So I just had there was a couple who had a baby. It was very difficult circumstances in Or Chaim. One of the shluchim, they had a big party yesterday. They had a baby girl, and someone mentioned this Gemara. So I thought it was apropos here, though. David, the Gemara is describing or explaining an interesting nuance in Tehillim. Some prakim of Tehillim start LeDavid Mizmor, and some of them start Mizmor LeDavid. And some of them start in lots of other ways also. But there's more Asaf, there's whatever. There's all kinds of different ways. But the question is, why do you need both of those? Right? Presumably only one of them is correct. L'David Mizmor, to David, a song. Or Mizmor L'David, a song to David. What's the difference? And why is there this difference? Hear the question? It's not. What's going on? So the Gemara says, L'David Mizmor, Milamed Shesharta Alav Shechina, V'acharkach Amar Shira. The Gemara is assuming that these two different formulations have to do with the way that David experienced his inspiration in terms of making these Tehillim. So if it says L'David Mizmor, it means that the Shechina rested on him, and afterwards he said the song, the poem, he was inspired from God. Mizmor L'David, Milamed She'amar Shira, V'acharkach Sharta Alav Shechina. It means that he said a song, He composed, he tried to arouse himself into the spiritual level, and then afterwards the Shechina rested on him. And the Gemara goes on to say, L'lamedcha, this teaches you, She'ein ha-Shechina shora lo mitoch atzlut, v'lo mitoch atzvut, v'lo mitoch schoch, v'lo mitoch kalut rosh, v'lo mitoch varim betelim. The Shechina doesn't rest on a person if they're lazy, or if they're sad, or if they're, you know, laughing, you know, in an inappropriate way, or if they're doing foolish lightheadedness, or if they're wasting their time. El mitoch dvar simcha shel mitzvah. It rests out of joy of a mitzvah, joy in general,
So why on if a chag falls on a weekday, you go the David means more when you put the Torah back, and then if it's not on Shabbat, you don't means more the David.
Ah, so
is there like anything to that?
I had a friend who was very interested in finding an answer to this question. He's a very smart person, and he never found an answer to this question.
Really?
Yes. We asked, I remember one time, one of the Rosh Yeshiva from YU, we were somewhere, we were both there, and it was like a question-answer period, and he asked this question, and he didn't know. I tried to find it also once. I don't know. It's a good question. It could be related to this. Maybe on Shabbos you're more... I don't know.
Or does
I don't
it
have to
just
work it out.
To be the... What
yeah,
it could, said,
yeah
you know.
More, or it's very possible it just happens to be what's in the content of those prakim as opposed to the heading. But the idea here is that if you're coming to seek some sort of level of sort of spiritual moment, a moment where you're clear-headed and you can have a moment of connection with God, you can't just go into it. And you can't go into it, like you say, you can't just start. You can't go into it out of any of these other situations, whatever baggage or whatever you're doing during the day, right? You're just sitting around, you're very depressed, or a person, or you're, you know, having a big party and you're in a sort of lightheaded kind of mood. So you can't just go from those moments straight into a connection with God. There has to be a moment of joy, a moment of preparation. And this is part of this idea of Psuka de Zimra. You say Shevach, you praise God, it brings about in you a kind of level of joy, a level of feeling. It's very hard to accomplish. I mean, it's hard. It's hard for me, at least, to accomplish this. But this is part of the idea. You're revving yourself up to feel joy, to feel happy about what you're doing, and that allows you, when you go into Kriyat Shema and Shmona Esrei, to be able to relate to God in the right way. And then, yeah, okay. And just to clinch that, we have this last point, the last source here, which is impossible to read. It was very big when I promise you. When I printed it, it was like huge. And for some reason, through the magic of technology, yeah, I don't know what happened here. But you cannot read it. I can actually try. I will make an attempt to read it. But the question that we asked was, what exactly is the denouement? Are we aiming for Shmona Esrei? We're aiming for something else. So most people assume you're aiming for Shmona Esrei because it's like a sequence, right? You're going up to Shema, Shema's good. Then Shmona Esrei, you're standing right in front of God alone, talking. That's like the pinnacle. And then everything else sort of comes down afterwards. The Alter Rebbe of Chabad, I saw someone quote, he said no. Hinei kodem kriyat Shema, Tiknu anshe knesset hagdola psuke de zimra. Before Kriyat Shema, I don't know why it's Hina Yadua, it's known they established this practice of saying psuke de zimra. Ha'inyan shel psuke de zimra kedeshi yuchlu lehagia bepasuk rishon de Kriyat Shema leyichud ha'elyon de Hashem Elokeinu. The point is that you can establish this sublime super yichud, which I'm sure he explains there, and I'm not at liberty or capable of explaining to you. I don't know about the liberty part, but I'm certainly not capable of explaining it to you, that you reach this level of yichud, of unifying the name of God at the most appropriate, the best possible way. V'im lo ha-shir v'ha-zimra b'psuke d'zimra, e'ef shar levo l'madregat yichud zu. The goal, according to the Alter Rebbe, the point of the Psuke de Zimra is to put you in a spot where you can express the unity of God and you can understand it in the clearest possible way. And without the singing, without the poetry and the inspiration that comes from Psuke de Zimra, you can't. But the idea seems to be the same. You need to have joy. There needs to be some level of excitement, spiritual excitement, in order to reach the level of Psuke de, to reach either Shema, in this case, or Shmona Esrei. So just in terms of the structure, what we've seen is that there's this notion of praising God before you pray. There's a notion of completing the Hallel, that Hallel every day. And so this creates the core of what we do in Shacharit, and it leads you to get you to this level of kind of inspiration to get into Shmona Esrei. At Mincha, we only have Ashrei. There's nothing else. Presumably, I didn't pursue this exhaustively, but this idea of completing the Hallel of Psuke de Zimra, it's once a day. Right, that was what the Gemara said. Right, where was the Gemara? Gemara said, "Yehel chalki migomrei halal b'chol yom." I should, you know, merit to be like the people that say this every day. So this idea of saying Ashrei through to the end of these prakim is only once a day. It's not every time you daven. And so there, all we have left is one of the Ashreis, because you still have to say three Ashreis. We say two of them in the morning, one during Psuke de Zimra, one after Tachanun. Right, Ashrei Uvelitzion, and one at Mincha. You don't say one at Mariv. There's a concept, I believe it's Alpi Kabbalah, that you're not supposed to say Tehillim at night. So once it's the nighttime, I don't know if it's only in the context of Tefillah or not, but you're not supposed to say it at night, so we don't say it at night. So we cut up the three Ashreis between Shachris and Mincha, and there's still an element of praise, and you're moving into Shmona Esrei, and at night, what can you do? At least you have the Shema. The Shema is there to lead you into the davening. So that was two ideas here. I think we'll stop for the evening and not go into the other part. Yeah. Thank you.